Stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument the way it ended. But like I just said, it like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and. That game to be
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
Wow, what a wild Sunday morning we have going on here as a situation. We just heard it, Matt and Myron talking about it on Countdown to Kickoff, but we have a situation replaying itself that happened at a major PGA championship very recently. I mean, Kyle, I would say we've never seen anything like this, but here's Jeff Darlington, the reporter from ESPN who was there when Scott Scheffler got arrested in Louisville, as Tyreek Hill has been arrested for a driving violation immediately before the Dolphins game against the Jaguars opening week 1. And Jeff Darlington is right there as the ESPN reporter in Miami. The update now is that Tyreek Hill has been released. His agent says he will play. So for those of you worried about him personally, which I'm sure you are, and you're not worried about his fantasy football status, it's unbelievable, Kyle.
What was the first thing I said to you when you told me?
You were like, well, I'm part of 101.7 The Truth, and I care a lot about social justice, and I'm worried about Blackfield being arrested. No, you were like, my fantasy wide receiver. All I care about is my fantasy team.
He was my first overall pick. I ain't got time for that. What did he do? Is he playing?
Oh, you're like, okay. It wasn't domestic, was it? I was like, no, it's just a... You said it wasn't domestic, was it? Because you didn't want it to be serious. Once you heard it was driving, then you were like, oh, I just care about my fantasy team.
I mean, what was he driving? Drunk. You say on the way to the game. I said, okay. Yeah. So he's probably speeding a little bit, you know.
I would guess what happened is probably very similar to what Scottie Scheffler has, right? Like where you're going into the game, you're in your zone, maybe there's some early traffic already, you're trying to go around the traffic in a way that isn't legal, but because you're one of the players, you assume that it's understood that you can do that, and then all of a sudden, an officer pulls you over, but they did say arrested, not just pulled over. Tyreek Hill was, in fact, arrested, according to the ESPN report, but as I said, the report also says that Tyreek Hill is expected to play. So that is a lot happening early. But there is video of him being placed into handcuffs, which you have to imagine, is going to have an impact on someone. We saw Scottie Scheffler go out that day after going into jail, and he was in a cell for a while and played a great round of golf. NFL football, after going through something like this today, I can only imagine. But what an opening week to the NFL season it's already been, where Isaiah Likely's toe was like the Kevin Durant for the Milwaukee Bucks, getting the Bucks to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2021. So the first game of the season ends on Kevin Durant's toe. The second game of the season, the one that we care a lot more about here, ends on Jordan Love's MCL. And the Packers go down to the Philadelphia Eagles in a game I think people are going to remember for Jordan Love's injury and for people falling down. And
yeah.
And like the thought of, should there been a game on a proper football field that was played there, where, you know, there, it's a soccer field basically, right? And they were playing football, and obviously impacted the game in a lot of ways. I'm saying it impacted my guy Narveson, and that's why he missed his field goal. There's no way he would have missed a kick.
Oh, so you're a Narv dog guy too, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you know the story behind Braden Narveson?
No,
with me?
No.
So remember on, I was asking Shefty about names, right?
Yeah.
And so, wow, you gotta follow KBN ESPN on social media. The day before, on that Monday, right after you came on, right after Shefty joined you on Sunday Karma, on Kyle Bruston-Nortman, that was my guy. I said he's on their Tennessee Titans roster right now, but by Wednesday he'll be a Green Bay Packer.
Wow.
You didn't know
you
that?
You called that. No, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. That was
so you. So that's our guy. He is officially our favorite Sunday Karma kicker.
Yeah, well, Jamar Chase still will not get a deal done before the game. He is questionable versus the Patriots with an illness.
Yeah, his stomach hurt, his head hurt from not getting that money.
Now, all of a sudden, my fantasy team's in play here.
Greg, wait a minute, you need to check on him. Make sure he's okay. He ain't got the COVID or anything like that. You worried about fantasy. Let's worry about the man's health. Maybe he's going to some mental health stuff because he ain't getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has like a base of $1 million.
Nah, that's got to be higher than that.
I'm saying that's his base. Like, you know, he had a signing bonus, right, as a top draft pick.
Yeah, I'm going to say, but they don't give a base of $1 million. That base got to be higher than that.
For some reason, I thought I just saw that flash on the screen. But what, I mean, look, I will get back to the Packers in a second, but you have two of the top receivers in the NFL here. You have Tyreek Hill.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Arrested and released immediately before the game. And you have Jamar Chase, who, you know, we don't know if he is going to play. He is questionable. We're less than 2 hours before kickoff of the NFL season, and we're not sure if, I mean, I guess we believe, based on Tyreek Hill's agent, but we're not sure if Tyreek Hill or Jamar Chase are going to be able to play today.
We going to be good. We good. He got arrested and released. He fine. He didn't do anything too bad.
I actually think Tyreek Hill, when I've watched enough of him and things, I actually think he'll have a huge game today.
I do too. I mean, listen, he had a lot of stuff that's happened in his life. This is light work.
Yeah, and I think if anything, this will get him focused even more. Again, like, I watched a bunch of video on him in the offseason. So anyway, so that's some crazy stuff. But back to the Packers, and we're going to remember the messy field and all that. But Jordan Love, now, the hope for the Packers is that it is a 3 to 4 week injury. But this is not something that we didn't see coming, right? Like, this is something that, I mean, on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I joined them, and they were asking, you know, they were talking a lot about linebackers and offensive line and, you know, all different things. But when they asked me going into the year what the concern might be, here was the conversation.
Craig, what position group worries you the most for the Packers when we are a week away from their first game? What gives you concern?
I would say the position group is are you allowed to have a position group of the backup? I think this team, you know, they'll figure out the offensive line. To me, they can figure out every single thing going on with this team. It's just about Jordan Love being healthy.
The position group that worried me was the backup quarterback position group. I mean, and that's what we've seen, you know, already. I don't understand why it would be so undervalued by the Packers. And I understand they made a trade before the season, but it just seems so weird to me, Kyle, that we know how important the quarterback position is. And the Packers, again, I said, I understood last year, you didn't want to have too good of a backup quarterback, like a real experienced guy who you knew could come in and win, because that would put a lot of pressure on Jordan Love. And who knows what that would have meant to them early in the year when Jordan Love was struggling. But when you clearly have paid your quarterback and you have a clear number one, I don't understand why you wouldn't make sure to have an experienced winning backup quarterback.
Because it's not the Green Bay Packers way. That's just not what they planned on doing.
But what does that mean?
It's not part of what their plan is. They went out, they invested a seventh-round draft pick in Malik Willis, someone they believe, who obviously they believe called upon.
That's not their way. I'm saying, why isn't it their way? Are we not able to question it after the fact, right?
You heard me say that.
That was a week before the season. I'm saying, if you're trying to win, and actually this year people are like, hey, they could be in the NFC Championship, right? That's one of your theories, right?
Yes.
That they could be in NFC. So that means every win is going to matter. And when that's the case and you're at that level, then you need someone. And I just don't understand it.
When you have gotten away with not having to have a big name start backup quarterback, the Green Bay Packers, for the most part, I mean, Blaine Gabbert was a backup once.
I'm not saying a big name. I'm just saying, there's 10, 15 guys who are these established backup quarterbacks who get paid, right? You pay them $8 million a year.
And the Packers aren't going to do that.
Right, but why?
Because they're not going to invest $8 million a year in something like that. That's not going to move more wins and losses. No, but if you're
a typical team, you're talking about any other position.
That's very true. But you're talking about the worst case scenario, and the Green Bay Packers obviously don't focus on the worst case scenario. And so for me, when you look at guys who have started for the Green Bay Packers, other than Brett Favre, other than Aaron Rodgers, other than Jordan Love, you're talking about a Seneca Wallace that got a start. You're talking about a Matt Flynn that got a start. You're talking about a Scott Tolzien who got a start as well. Like, these aren't well-known, great backup quarterbacks, Craig. These are just guys. Brett Hundley, Jordan Love, his rookie year or second year in the league, he got a chance to start. I think it was the second year in the league. So, I mean, this just isn't – that's not what the Green Bay Packers do. They typically draft guys and try to develop them. Even though they did not draft Malik Willis, they drafted a Sean Clifford. They drafted the young man from Tulane who named not on our team, don't care anymore. But – they draft guys and try to coach them up so then they can be serviceable backups. That's what they're doing. And with Malik Willis, they got a guy who actually has starting experience in the NFL that they believe can potentially run this offense. So we're going into panic mode right now.
I'm not panicking.
You are panicking.
No, this is what I said before the season.
But now
I'm saying philosophically.
You're taking a victory rap on my boy getting hurt. Of me being all sad yesterday.
I'm not.
Because you were right about the fact that Jordan Love's health is the most important, which is right. But I say this. Is that let's wait and see about Malik Willis before we think that we have to get some veteran backup. Malik Willis, I believe this is his third year in the NFL.
Yep.
Malik Willis was a guy that was looked at as a potential starter. He lost that position to Will Levis. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But Malik Willis still may be talented enough to be just as good as a Seneca Wallace, just as good as a Scott Tolzien, just as good as a Sean Kiesler, better than those guys.
But again, the people you're saying aren't what I'm talking about. That is what he could be, and he could develop into a good backup quarterback. What I'm talking about is I don't understand why you wouldn't want to have a veteran backup quarterback, a guy who's played in the league 8, 9, 10, 12 years, who has seen it all.
They not paying nobody $8 million to hold a clipboard. They just not going to do it because they've been
able to. They have all the money in the world. It's not a money thing,
Craig,
is it?
Don't you realize is that your life experiences, decisions that you make in life, right, as an organization, dictate how you go about things. For the Green Bay Packers,
because Brett Favre didn't miss any games,
I'm saying because they shouldn't have a veteran backup quarterback. I'm saying because the Green Bay Packers have never been burned. They have not been burned in 30 years of
Aaron Rodgers got hurt in week one, and that whole season was a disaster. I mean, there were multiple years that were brought down by injuries that Aaron had.
I believe they still made the playoffs that year.
One of the two years they did.
That's what I'm saying. I remember being at the game.
Scott Tolzien helped them eke out a tie, and then Aaron came back and they beat the Bears and they ended up making the playoffs.
And then there was another one where they beat the Detroit Lions when Aaron Rodgers had a bad calf, and I think he missed some. Yeah, I think he might have missed some games. But my whole point is that if you have not been burned by a situation or scenario, you are not inclined to say, okay, we can't have this happen again. And so obviously,
can we try to get ESPN on here? We do have Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for Tyreek Hill, talking to ESPN and ESPN's Jeff Darlington right now about the Tyreek Hill situation as it's going on live. The Dolphins head of security, it appears, got involved. They're not saying exactly what the driving incident was. And, you know, because it is a legal situation, they're not going into many details. They are just saying they do hope he will play today. They did not say 100%, but it does look like the expectation is Tyreek Hill will play. And
have you ever seen another agent who seems to be everywhere at one time? Drew Rosenhaus on draft night seems like he's everywhere.
Right. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus does find his way to the camera, though. Right. Like, I feel like if it was other agents, they may not be interviewed on the field right before the game.
Not Drew. He's right on the field talking about his guy because he for sure was going to be in Miami. Because I know he's based out of Miami, I think. He for sure is going to be in Miami with his guy, Tyreek.
Yeah. This is just a bizarre situation where Tyreek Hill was the only player involved in this situation. It seems as if other players from his team came to his aid, as did security playing. And they are saying, yes, he will play. You will see him on the field shortly in warmups. So that is your update. And, you know, cool to see our guy Greeny, Mike Greenberg, leading Sunday NFL Countdown for the first time ever. He's going to be your host of all season long. Mike Greenberg, your host of Sunday NFL
Countdown.
That's
a lot of work for my guy.
Yeah.
Every Sunday?
Yep. That's why our guy Evan Cohen will be in for him on Thursdays and Fridays on the radio show.
Oh, love
so
that.
So Greeny can be doing the weekend show, which is exciting. So, all right, we have a lot to get into. Jason Wildy's going to join us, get the latest on Jordan Love and the Packers in 15 minutes, and we will get you ready for week one of the NFL season and get our thoughts on what happened for the Green Bay Packers in week one, as well as their week two of your Wisconsin Badgers. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Girls in my crib, zero Snapchat, zero Instagram, four string. The vibe might start falling like London Bridge.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
So, Kyle, why do you think the Packers lost?
Oh, they lost to a better football team on week one, if you ask me. I feel like just overall the Green Bay Packers struggled to slow down Saquon Barkley when they really needed to. They couldn't get off the field on third downs. Too many little slant routes that they were able to get to Devontae Smith. So I just think overall that was a better football team week one, which makes sense. So you have Devontae Smith, you have A.J. Brown, you have Saquon Barkley, you have Jalen Carter on the defensive line. Like it's a good football team.
I disagree.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, I agree they're a good football team, but I think both teams, it was very week one, like teams figuring stuff out, some bad interceptions by both quarterbacks, right? Jordan Love won, Hurts threw two, maybe not the best decision running interceptions out of the end zone. But to me, it came down to two drives for the Packers.
Let's hear them.
It was their second drive of the game and their third drive of the game, right? Packers come out and punt, first drive. They get an interception, and they get a fumble, and they get 6 total points out of it.
Yeah.
They needed 14 points there. You can't, like, last year, all we said was this defense, this defense, this defense. They don't do anything. Like, we know the defense didn't get off the field all the time on Friday night in Brazil, but they got them the ball twice with, forget short field, they got him basically there with no field. And in those situations, you need to convert with a touchdown. And to me, that was the difference in the game. The Packers should have been up 14-0, and the game should be not over. But what I said going into the game, either the Packers will lose a close game or they'll win a blowout. Because that's what I felt with the Eagles. And they had that opportunity.
Yeah, they did.
They could have been up 14-0. Heads would have gone down from the Eagles. You know, we saw the Eagles fold late in last season, and I think it could have been like, here we go again.
So you think preseason had anything to do with this? They didn't play? I mean, it took them a little bit to get the rhythm together.
I think so for all
teams, especially the running
game.
My goodness.
I think for all teams that's the case. But in their fourth, fifth, and sixth drives, they scored touchdowns,
They got churning. They got going. At the end of the game, I mean, Josh Jacobs started taking over. By the mid-third quarter, Josh Jacobs finally got
but I'm not exaggerating when I say that. It was punt the first drive, then they got the two short fields, neither of those converted to touchdowns.
Yeah, you felt like you left points on the field. And then you definitely did.
The fact that they scored touchdown drives in drives 4, 5, and 6 made you feel like, oh my God, this could have been the Cowboys game again. If they had converted those two touchdowns, I think they blow the Eagles out of this field.
I
think that game ends up 42-21 or 42-17, something like that.
I definitely think they scored.
Oh, my God. By the way.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
By the way, we have multiple breaking news from the NFL. We are going to break from that to say that Dak Prescott has, in fact, signed his contract. So before he and the Dallas Cowboys take on the Cleveland Browns today in Week 1, Dak Prescott has agreed to a 4-year contract, making him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL and the highest paid player in the NFL. A bunch of quarterbacks had $55 million a year averages. This is a 4-year, $240 million extension for Dak Prescott, $60 million, making Dak Prescott now the new highest paid player in the history of the NFL. Also, inactives come out. Russell Wilson is inactive today. Justin Fields will, in fact, get the start.
Oh, yes,
week
your boy.
One for the Pittsburgh
That's
Steelers against the Atlanta Falcons.
I have two questions for you.
So you'll have Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins, two quarterbacks from
the NFC North from last year, yeah.
From last year's NFC North. Exactly where I was going, Kyle, right? We said at one point last year who's got the best quarterback in the division, and it was, I think, you know, Cousins, Goff, Fields, Love.
Did you have Fields or Love ahead to start Week 1 last year?
Last year? Oh, I definitely think I had.
Come on, don't say
I think
you.
I think I had Goff.
No, I'm saying you had Fields ahead of Love last year to start the season.
To start the season,
yeah.
I mean, you had to. Remember, I was huge on Love. I was down on the Packers last year.
You were down on the Packers.
I was down on the Packers. I was huge on Love. My thing last year was that Jordan Love was going to be so good, but that the rest of the team was so inexperienced, like the tight ends and the receivers, that even when Jordan Love was doing things well, it wouldn't look like he was doing them well because he had such an inexperienced group around him. So that's why what Jordan Love did last year to me was so surprising. I've been huge on Jordan Love. I just didn't think he had the supporting cast last year to do what he did. So it's wild to now see these two guys from the NFC North matching up with Kirk Cousins, now the favorite to win the NFC South, and Justin Fields getting an opportunity with a great running game, right, with Warren and Harris there in Pittsburgh. Be very interesting to see what they're able to do. They won a lot of games, as they do every year in Pittsburgh, without a quarterback.
That's a lot of threats in the backfield being able to run the ball.
Yeah.
Is Wilson's career over? Is he washed now? I mean,
he has a calf injury right now. His career's not over. But
I'm just saying, it's going to be a struggle
now. I think it's
now.
Easy to say that. I think Russell Wilson will have a day still. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
I mean, he is 34 going on 35, yep. I believe. Might be 35.
Yeah,
it's
we
tough.
Just saw Thursday night Lamar Jackson passed him as the third leading rusher for all-time quarterbacks. I mean, so I think Russell Wilson, sometimes we forget what he's compiled in what is a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, compiled
for Russell Wilson.
His best days are behind him.
Yes,
and it's sad for me because I thought when he went down to Denver, he had a great opportunity. But again, Dak Prescott, highest paid quarterback. Does this make Jordan Love's contract look good now? Because now we know $60 million is where the bar is.
Yeah,
so when you
every,
have guys
contract,
come up,
every contract. Every contract.
Now we feel good,
sign.
Right?
Well, obviously you can't feel good with Jordan Love hurt.
Well,
but
yes.
I think as you look at Jordan Love and as you look at your franchise quarterback and as you look at the way the salary cap's going to continue to go up, we don't need to worry about what Jordan Love's paid. And we could have also paid a backup quarterback. But we'll talk about that with Jason Wilde. He joins us next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Finesse, 2-0.
Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Here's when we are a week away from their first game. What gives you concern?
I would say the position group is the... Are you allowed to have a position group of the backup? I think this team, you know, they'll figure out the offensive line. To me, they can figure out every single thing going on with this team. It's just about Jordan Love being healthy.
Good morning, Jason.
Well, hi. Good morning.
Well, Jason, we talked about it last week, about what I called kind of an arrogance. And then you heard it there from me 10 days ago. So this isn't after the fact. But Jordan Love is now going to be out for a while. By the way, Ja'Marr Chase is active for today. The inactives and actives are coming out as we speak. Reports are that Ja'Marr Chase is active for today, despite his contract situation not being resolved. As we said, Dak Prescott's has been resolved. He signed a four-year extension. We said Justin Fields is starting in place of Russell Wilson and that Tyreek Hill is active despite being detained by police before their game against the Jaguars with a driving violation. All right, Jason, we got everyone back caught up. So, Jordan Love, before we get into the moving forward, let's just bask in the decision-making process and what led us to the situation where the Packers are right now with Jordan Love.
Well, I think, all right, first of all, I think one of the conversations that we had coming out of training camp was the backup quarterback situation and whether or not, you know, this group was ready if something bad happened. And by the way, with Dak Prescott's deal getting done, I do think it's worth noting that I'm really glad Packers fans were as understanding as they were about Jordan Love's hold in and him not participating in practice. I thought the vast majority of our fans that I interacted with were pretty positive and understanding about it. And this is exactly why, right? Like, if that knee turns in a slightly different direction and he's playing on an $11 million contract, that would be really, really tough to take when now he's a $220 million quarterback and he's been surpassed by Dak Prescott. But this reminds me of 2013 when they didn't like anybody that they had in camp. They didn't like Graham Harrell anymore. They didn't like B.J. Coleman. They didn't like Vince Young. So they get to the end of training camp and they wash them all out and they bring in Scott Tolzien and Seneca Wallace to back up Aaron Rodgers. And of course, that's the year that Rodgers breaks his collarbone for the first time. Jordan Love's not going to be sidelined as long as Rodgers was, but this is what happens when you have quarterbacks that you kind of like, and then they don't play to the level that you wanted them to, and you don't feel good about any of them, then you make the move for Malik Willis. So I'm sorry, this is not an ideal situation. The good news is that, you know, from what we understand, it's going to be 3-4 weeks maybe that he misses. Because had this been more catastrophic, I would certainly think that they'd have been calling Ryan Tannehill and asking him if he'd like to consider unretiring or whatever it is he's doing right now.
Yeah, and 3 to 4 weeks is, Jason, is that your sense that that's the optimistic timetable or that is the target timetable? Do we have any sense around how realistic it is that Jordan will only miss, you know, potentially only three games? Or yeah, even two games that he could be back in 3 weeks?
Now, that part, I think, is optimistic. You know, I talked to a couple people yesterday, and, you know, again, none of them are doctors. But I think there was a euphoria that he had avoided a catastrophe. And then there was a feeling that, okay, not only that, but it's better than we thought it was going to be once they had the MRI. But again, this is a guy who is 25 years old, and the Packers are a very cautious group when it comes to injuries. And I don't think the one thing you don't want to do is rush your $220 million quarterback back onto the field just because he wants to get out there. And who knows what happens in the next three games. You know, this is what they had to do with Rodgers too, with the broken collarbone. Remember, we were doing the show back then in 2013, and he wanted to get out there sooner than Doc McKenzie would allow him. And he probably came back sooner
than
he
should.
He
played that Panthers game, right? When he.
Well, that was 17.
Okay, so that was 17. Okay, 13 was the Bears year where they won the Bears game.
13 was the Bears year, but yeah. 17, he definitely came back sooner because he negotiated that deal with Doc McKenzie and was able to play. And he didn't play well, and as soon as they lost, even though they weren't completely eliminated from playoff contention, they put him right back on injured reserve. So, again, we'll see how optimistic this is. But my understanding is 3 to 4 weeks is 3 to 4 weeks. It doesn't mean 2 weeks but also doesn't mean 6 weeks.
Yeah. So we chat with Jason Wilde. Do we know who that means is the starter? Because while he's not the backup currently on the depth chart, Clifford has more experience in the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I was bringing up 2013, because as it turned out, you know, and I love Scotty Tolzien a ton. He's a fantastic guy, and now he coaches Dak Prescott, oddly enough. But he hadn't been in the system. Seneca Wallace hadn't been in the system. Rodgers gets hurt, and Seneca Wallace then gets hurt also the following week. And Scott Tolzien ends up being the guy, and then they luck into Matt Flynn, very familiar with Mike McCarthy's offense, being released by the Bills and being available to them. And so with a guy that is more familiar with the offense, you would think that he would be the better alternative. But remember, they put Sean Clifford on the practice squad, and they did not call him up for the game on Friday night. They left him there. It was just Malik Willis who was backing up Love, and while I'm sure they weren't expecting what happened to happen, they felt they were comfortable enough with him, you know, being up to speed in the offense that they could have him back up if something, because there's always the possibility that something bad really happens. So they apparently have the confidence in him for him to be the starter, but I agree. I would take a long, hard look and think very, very long and hard about the idea of playing Sean Clifford instead.
Jason, do you believe Malik Willis is an NFL starting caliber quarterback? Because I know he got drafted. He didn't get drafted as
not
high
right
as
now,
he
he's not.
So right now, you don't believe, after seeing him start a couple games, I think it was two seasons ago, maybe in last season, you don't believe that he can be a serviceable guy that can step up and keep the Packers afloat while Love is out?
Not today. I don't. I think if this happened in November, I might have a different answer. Like I don't think this is Malik Willis's fault either. Like, I think he's extremely talented. If you watch some of the stuff he did, not just at Liberty, but some of the things he did with the Titans in preseason and what have you, he's a talented guy now. Like, let's not make it sound like he's not. The issue is he has been in the league for, what, 2 years and an off season and a training camp and one regular season game? He's been in four offenses. This is his fourth offensive system. And for a guy to go through that, I don't know how effectively you can be ready for anything when you go through that much change. But again, he got caught up in a regime change, a group that did not want him to be their quarterback after the previous general manager drafted him in Tennessee. I would love to see if this was if you told me, Jason, Jordan Love has to get hurt. It's predestined by the football gods. He's going to miss four games. My negotiation with you, if I had been the Packers, would have been, okay, can it be in November, not in the first game? Because I don't think that we can just dismiss whether or not Malik Willis is up to the task. I just have a hard time believing he's up to the task today, given he will. Here's the amazing thing. If he starts on Sunday, he will have been with the Packers for 20 days, not even 3 weeks. That is not a great situation to try and be successful in, but this will be a great test of Matt LaFleur and his ability to design an offense that will effectively highlight his skill set and allow them to function with a guy who does not have a lot of experience in the system.
And this is very different than a Jacoby Brissett, right? Like a guy who you could get for $8 million, who may not have the upside long-term, but who you know is a veteran player who can come in and start. Mm-hmm. So even if Willis turns out to be a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, that's likely a few years from now, right, to develop him in a system to be able to do that. And it's not like he would be starting for the Packers unless there was an extended injury. So it just, I don't know, the whole concept seems a little flawed. But Jason, let's get into the game a little bit. And I know the field was a big talk of the game, but to me, it was about the second and third drives of the game. There was the opportunity to go up 14-0, to put a team down who finished last year getting blown out in a bunch of games. It just felt like that was to me more than any other place in the game where this game was lost.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I heard you guys talking about it earlier, and I think that's exactly what happened. Now, again, the other team gets paid too, and they did some pretty good things defensively to make it hard for them and make them settle for field goals to be up 6-0 instead of 14-0. And the Packers had their mistakes too, right? I mean, the interception, Love throws. I don't know if that's is one of the things that if Jordan hadn't gotten hurt, I know people would have asked him in Sao Paulo. Like, I think he's expecting Luke Musgrave to turn a little differently on that route. And so maybe that he actually threw it to where it was supposed to be, but Musgrave wasn't there. I'd like to ask him that if and when we get to talk to him sometime soon. But they had their own mistakes, right? They had a ton of penalties. They had 5 penalties in the first quarter alone. Like, it wasn't just the Eagles that stopped them on those 2 drives where they settled for field goals. The Packers had a lot to do with stopping themselves. So I would think that...
When you're saying the Packers stopped themselves, you're saying it was the Packers. You're not blaming the referees at all. You think all of it was self-inflicted.
Well, they both had 12. I've never seen that before where both teams have 12 men on the field at the same time. But, you know, it wipes out a 38-yard touchdown, right? I mean, look, this is what happens in the NFL in 2024 when nobody plays their starters throughout preseason. And again, I don't have a problem with that because I don't want to lose someone to an injury in a game that doesn't count. And I was in Pittsburgh for Jordy Nelson, which wrecked the season. That said, you better be willing to put up with some sloppy play. And, you know, LaFleur's line about them in the red zone, we got destroyed in the red zone was the phrase he used. You know, that he wasn't wrong. That was exactly what happened to them.
Yeah, and you mentioned LaFleur earlier, and I actually just want to go back to it again. He seems like one of these play callers, and maybe they're all like this, that this opportunity and challenge without Jordan Love is going to just open him up for everything, right? Like, so I don't think, like, even if we don't love the quarterback situation, can't we believe that the Packers, based on the depth of weapons they have, like, that this isn't like, okay, you know, they don't have a backup quarterback, so their offense is just going to suck for the next 3 weeks. Like, can we believe enough in Matt LaFleur and these weapons that this can be a competitive offense?
I think we can. Now, he has to do it, right? Like, we can talk till the cows come home about what a great offensive mind he is and how many weapons whoever's playing quarterback has at their disposal. But the bottom line is it's still hard to scheme things up with a guy that you barely know. And that's where they're at with Malik Willis. Now,
well, whether it's Willis or Clifford, you're looking at maybe the easiest 3-game stretch of the schedule the entire season, right? If you had to pick a 3 games to go at it without Jordan Love, I feel like these upcoming 3 games are the 3 games you'd want.
Yeah, I think I would have, again, I would have liked these 3 games, but in November. But yes. I think they're in a good spot. I mean,
right? Colts, Titans, and Vikings. I mean,
yeah, he's going to get to go against his old team if he's the starter. I'm really curious because they did, and I don't know if this was just subterfuge or if they were, in fact, unsure of whether or not Malik Willis was going to be ready. But LaFleur said repeatedly during the course of the week that they were not picking the backup quarterback until the end of the week. That Willis and Clifford were competing for the backup job in the game. And now, in fairness, the general manager, after he made the trade for Malik Willis, said, oh, we think he'll be ready for the opener. So maybe there was some subterfuge there, or maybe the coach didn't feel as strongly as the general manager that he would be ready. But if I don't know how you don't at least consider the idea that Sean Clifford is better equipped to play in this game than Malik Willis is. But I don't think you trade for a guy and then you have the practice squad guy who your general manager, and I quote, said there was some underwhelming performances during training camp from him and from the other competitor for the quarterback job.
Hey, well, more with Jason Wilde. So much to take in. We'll get your take on the defense as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I walk around with a beast dick. It gonna make a buddy do a backflip. 100 round drum on me. Hit his ass up, have his mama throw a feed. How you want smoke, push.
Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Continue with Jason Wilde. And Jason, my take on this is you're playing a prolific offense. You're going to give up a bunch of yards. You're going to give up a bunch of points. But what we were looking for was some game-changing plays, and the defense actually made it. And I don't know, to me, I was okay with week one for a new defensive system and that performance, given the field, given the opponent, given everything. I wasn't down on week one from a defense standpoint.
I wasn't either until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because, look, I don't care if you're Joe Barry or Mike Pettine or Dom Capers or Fritz Schirmer or Jeff Hafley. Your guys got to get off the field there. And to allow the opponent to chew up 7.5 minutes of clock for them to go 16 plays, 67 yards, and then kick a 21-yard field goal, you prevented your team from having a chance to win the game. I mean, I understand they got 27 whole seconds or 22 after.
And by the way, Jair almost, right, Jason, Jair almost pulled off a second pick, right?
Yeah.
After it looked like A.J. Brown was dominating him throughout the game, he ended up, you know, at least being competitive and almost on that last drive, like, you know, A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown actually made a pretty good play to prevent another interception there.
Yeah, he broke it up, exactly. But, look, they you can't have that happen. And I think Jeff Hafley, when we talk to him this week, will say the same thing. But I agree with you that for much of the game against, like, let's consider the quality of the opponent here, right? Like, that is an offense that has all kinds of talent. I understand their downward trend during the second half of last season. That's a totally fair critique. But the bottom line is there's a hell of a lot of talent on that offense. And they obviously missed Jason Kelce. There are all kinds of issues with the new center and a premature snap and the fumbled exchange. But the bottom line is that's a really good group. And when you have that much talent on offense, even if you're a good defense, you're going to give up, like you said. So I thought – until they got to the fourth quarter, if they find a way to get off the field, even if they hold them to a field goal, but it's a 53-yard field goal and there's still 4 or 5 minutes left on the clock, I feel a lot differently about them. But I just – you cannot allow your opponent to do that, and I think Jeff Hafley would agree with me.
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised, and maybe I shouldn't have been, because it would have kept the field goal in play, that the Eagles kicked that field goal. Because I actually thought it may have been, yeah, they may have chosen and doesn't matter ultimately, but they may have chosen to go for it, you know, try to score there, and then the Packers would, if they stopped them, would still have had the whole field to go. So
right, they'd had to go 99 yards.
Yeah,
or
but
whatever they
but I guess
do.
They could have kicked the field goal then, which
correct.
You know. So let's go to the field goal, which is why I was going there. Another missed field goal, a doink. Is this, are we as concerned as we were at this time last week, the week before in the playoffs? Or is there something we've seen to make us feel a little better about the kicking situation?
Yeah, I don't know how you can look at it and not say the same things that you said about Anders Carlson, but because it's someone different, maybe you give him a little bit of a pass, right? Because the issue with Anders Carlson was that he basically would make all of his kicks in a game except one. And you were just waiting for that one that he was going to miss. 10 out of last 12 games of the season last year, including the playoffs, he missed at least one kick. And that's what Braden Narveson did. Now, it's a little unfair. He's got one game as a Packer, so let's see if he makes all of his kicks on Sunday against the Colts. But it's not the result isn't different. And remember,
and we can't blame the field on that, Jason, because I made my bold prediction that he wasn't going to miss a kick for the first 10 weeks of the season on Wilde and Tausch. Can I hold on to the fact that like it doesn't count because of the field, or is that not a fair excuse?
No, you're out. Yeah, you're out. Right. But the only person that I really want to make sure gets their bold prediction wrong is Domofsky, who said he thinks he'll someday die in a plane crash. That changed the tenor of our program a little bit when he did that. But look, I don't know how good Braden Arvidsson's going to be, and I think it's probably unfair to look at his one miss and say, oh, here we go again. It's Anders 2.0. But that was a big miss. I mean, they're in a position where when the Eagles are driving and eating up all that clock at the end, if he makes the kick, the Packers have a one-point lead, do they not? Aren't they down two at that point? So I don't know if they've gotten it right here, but what I'm really interested to see is just how much rope Goody's going to give him, because Goody, and not only did he admit that he's impatient with specialists, he used the phrase a short leash after they moved on from both kickers from camp and brought in Arvidsson.
Yeah, Jason, I guess any players who jumped out at you more than you thought they would in week one? Because to me, it felt like a lot of what we thought, right? Jacobs took a little while, but eventually got going. Jaden Reed, who I predicted would be double-digit touchdowns, looked good, but as did Dobbs. You know, Watson wasn't big, but had the touchdown. You know, anyone offensively or defensively where you were like, wow, I didn't expect that from him week one.
I like that you're calling back to all your predictions, good and bad. Earlier you were, I was big on Love last year. Now you've got, you were wrong about the kicker, but you were right about Jaden Reed.
Hey, I was right about, let's go. I was right about the takeaways. I gave you that one also on Wilde and Tausch.
You did. That's very fair. So, look, I think Jaden Reed is who we thought he was last year. So, yes, that confirmed that. I do think that Christian Watson, you know, the fact that he got through the game healthy, that he caught a touchdown, that he's in the mix, I think that's incredibly encouraging. He said he wants to play all 17 games. And while my natural reaction is I'll believe it when I see it, he's off to a good start. So let's see if he can do it for 16 more. To me, the biggest, the guy that I was most interested in was Xavier McKinney. I wanted to see if kind of the hype, which I had been part of delivering, if he lived up to that. And it sure looks like from that perspective, and again, I'm still working my way through the game in terms of NFL Plus, but I thought that he's not Nick Collins yet. He's certainly not Charles Woodson yet, but he is definitely an upgrade, and so is Javon Bullard. I think they feel really good about where the arrow is pointing with their safeties.
Yep. And no, like, oh, Keyshawn Nixon or Quay Walker or anyone else is like, wow, they're breakthrough. Like, there's no one else we should get overly excited about coming off week one.
I don't think so. But you mentioned, you know, Josh Jacobs. And at the start of the game, you know, I got a text from Sylvie saying your team's really going to miss Aaron Jones. I did not hear back from him again later in the game. So, you know, I think
typical that, Chicago guy.
Yeah, fair. But I look, it's one game. The good, the bad, the ugly is it's only one game. But I'm really eager to see whoever they end up playing, having play quarterback. I'm really eager to see how effectively LaFleur can come up with different schemes that work for Malik Willis, and how effectively he can get the football to all these talented guys. Because even without Jordan Love, like we said at the very beginning, or like you said at the very beginning, they do have a heck of a lot of talent, and whoever's got to be playing quarterback has to figure out a way to get the ball.
Okay, so wait, last thing. Jason, you're saying Malik Willis, so you feel good about saying that he will be the starter next week?
Yeah, I definitely don't know that.
Okay.
My issue is it's really hard to say, all right, we acquired you to be our backup, and we think you've got all this ability and potential. But now that we actually have to have you be our backup, we don't think you're up to be our backup. So I think that's hard to,
especially
an unlikely scenario.
I mean, especially like you said, it was a last second decision. If he had been the third quarterback or inactive week one.
Correct.
Then you could have done that, but I agree. That would be tough. Now, Jason Wilde, Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon at Jason J. Wilde on X. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
There he is, Jason Wilde. We have our 7 at 11 coming up next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.